Scanning. Identity authorized. Welcome to the Secret Superhero Club Podcast Network.
Hear you lead today and enter the world of Hilt Radio. We'll take you on an epic journey through the magic of all things Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars, from the movies to the box and everything in between. It's time to take you to Disney and beyond with your hosts, Brittany and Liam DeCosimo.
And Mommy too.
Welcome back to another episode of Hear You Leave Today and Enter the World of Magic, Mysticism, and Spooktacular Conversations with your hosts of the most of the ghosts, myself, Liam.
I'm Brittany.
And oh my gosh, welcome to this episode of Hilt Radio, the only podcast guaranteed to put a spell on you.
Ooh, I like it.
You like that?
Because it's October.
I know. Finally, Spooktober, Spooktacular, and this is, honest to God, I think this is my favorite month out of the year.
It has to be. We would be divorcing if it wasn't your favorite month.
Marriage over.
You don't get an option of any other. I don't care if your birthday's not in this month. I don't care if Christmas isn't in this month.
Well,
October is the best month.
This is true.
Of the year.
And it's we were late bloomers this time around, which we'll get into, which was very sad. But to start it off for all of y'all.
We gotta
give you the rundown of all the latest and greatest from the House of Mouse, the House of Ideas, and a galaxy far, far away. So, Bima, why don't you kick us off with some Disney news?
Awesome. We gotta talk about Tim Allen and, you know, the latest from Toy Story 4. Disney Dreamers application, put it in now. But if you don't know what that is, we'll talk about it. Mickey Mouse, Vans. Yeah. 90s celebration. Vans is doing it.
And let's why would them. They not? So also to celebrate, we've got Ant-Man and the Wasp digital Blu-ray release coming up here, as well as Dark Phoenix trailer dropped last week, and then the release date dropped to
dropped off
into summer, and then Gambit also dropped off into
completely?
2020.
No,
so,
okay.
But Fox can get some things right, as Deadpool 2 will be getting a PG-13 re-release this December. And then also from the Sony world, we got set footage from Spider-Man 2 Far From Home, which gave us our first look at Mysterio, as well as what could possibly be the stealth suit for our boy Spidey.
I like it. We got to talk about Kathleen Kennedy and how she gets 3 years. I forgot to read Liam's awesome, awesome sentence.
That's right. You got to read it as it's put.
Kathleen Kennedy gets 3-year extension on her contract with Lucasfilm so she can continue to save the Star Wars franchise.
Yes.
Save, guys.
And then I'll read your lead, which was Star Wars Resistance extended trailer. So you can tell when I write a headline and when Brittany writes a headline.
That's why you get paid for ad copy and I don't. Oh my gosh, what else are we talking about?
The first look at the sets of Jon Favreau's live-action Star Wars series.
It's Favreau.
It's
thank you.
Favreau.
And we got to talk about Vader Immortal. It's the next ILM X-Lab VR addition to your living room.
That's
what I wanted to put, but Liam didn't write that. See, I can put some essence in there. Crap.
Definitely put some crap in there, that's for sure. If our rundown was a toilet, you would definitely be filling
Yay!
It with crap.
I did my duty.
Hero's duty. Wait, I got one more. Duty. All right, guys.
You're fired.
And more on this episode of Hilt Radio. But first, let us talk about our own adventures. So T1, take us on in.
Prepare for adventures in fandom.
So we didn't really do much. I'm just kidding. I feel like we've done a lot.
Yeah, these past couple days have been pretty hectic. We usually get a decent jump start on decorating for Halloween. Like when they do the Halloween decorations in Disneyland, we usually make that same weekend our go-to weekend.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just because my days off changed, so we didn't plan accordingly.
It doesn't really make sense because your days off were the days that they put up the Disney decoration.
No, I know, but then it was like we went to Santa Cruz and Monterey, and it's like we've had other things going on in the month of September.
Yeah.
So I feel like September kind of flew by, so that's why we didn't really get anything done. And then you were holding out because you wanted me to buy you a black Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
Because kind apparently of. You're
that's kind of exactly what my thoughts were. If I can hold out long enough with decorations, I will get a black Christmas tree this time. I've been wanting a black Halloween tree forever. We've just been using our regular Christmas tree, and our regular Christmas tree has like specks of like fake snow in it. So I'm like, yes, by all means, this is totally Halloween-ish. No, but we did it for so many years because we love the idea of Halloween trees. So I think every year since we lived here, so just 3 years now, going on the fourth.
We didn't do Halloween trees at the apartment?
I can't remember.
I feel like we did.
We might have. I don't really remember. Might be more than 3 years.
I feel like the first year, because we moved in the apartment in April, we were married in May, and I want to say that October we did.
I don't know. It's possible. I can't remember that. Anyway, I just know from here, we have been doing it every year since.
Yes.
And this year, it was kind of one of those things where we have different furniture setups, and I didn't want to do the hassle of moving furniture around to put up a tree, even though we will have to do it for Christmas time. And then since we were going to do it, I'm like, you know what? What the heck? I'm getting a black tree this year. I don't freaking care. So if you guys are interested in a black Halloween tree, they have a, I think it was 6.5 foot at Walmart for $40. So because it was $40, that was when I was like, sure, Christmas trees are never freaking cheap. So apparently nobody wants a black tree. They're only going to make it $40. So we bought it. It's decorated. I am currently working on some Jack Skellington ornaments to go on the tree. Instead of buying them for like $60 from the Disney store, I'm going to make them for under $10. And hopefully they come out semi-okay. I'll post a pic if you're interested on my Instagram, but that'll be sometime this month.
Nice. So we'll keep you guys updated. We also recently got those. Oh, I cannot think.
What?
The
papel picados.
Yeah.
Picados. So we got the banner from Coco. It's a legit Coco banner. Somebody in Southern California, it was on eBay, so I don't know if they have like a craft page or anything, but their eBay account, you can honestly just look up Coco banner, or you could look up Coco papel picado, whichever you want to do. It'll pop up.
Yeah.
And this one is actual tissue paper, so it's feels authentic, looks authentic, because other ones are plastic because they are just making like a surplus of them, I'm assuming. Yeah. And this one was I think we got it for $14 or so, and it's super long. I want to say it was 17 feet or something is what I read. And it fits down our whole staircase, like our banner of a stair. Is that what it's called? A banner?
Yeah, the banister.
Banister mm-hmm. of stairs. And it's awesome. It looks just like the ones that they made in the movie to tell the story of the movie at the beginning. Really cute. Great colors. It's Coco. Goes along with our Coco wreath that my friend Raina made. And you can find her at Honeybee Wreaths on Instagram. And she makes Nightmare Before Christmas. She makes Coco. Anything you want.
Yeah.
Just give her the idea. She'll find the fabrics. And then she will put it together for you at a good price. So wreaths are expensive this time around. And she's going to make them for the holidays. So if you're interested, Honeybee Wreaths. Everything spelled the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
So.
And get your order in sooner rather than later. So it's not, because she's obviously like a one woman army.
Yes.
So the sooner you can get it in, the sooner you get your wreath.
Yeah. So she surprised us with putting our picture on the wreath. She put lights in it. There's cocoa fabric or a cocoa ribbon in it. It looks gorgeous. And you could see it on my Instagram page if you want to go Citizen of Disney. You can see a picture there. And then you could click her link too. So you can go get one yourself if you're interested.
Very cool. Other things, we've been watching movies and TV and whatnot. And just earlier today, not only Iron Man 1, but also Ant-Man, which came out immediately after, which I thought was kind of interesting choice. Both of them just on like TNT or TBS or whatever. Mm-hmm. Still hold up. I will still absolutely sit there and watch the entire movie without changing the channel or getting, you know, too tied up with other things. Like I was trying to make dinner, but then also sucked completely into Ant-Man. So.
Oh, yeah. He was like 20 minutes late to making dinner. I had to ask him like so many times, like, it's commercial. Now you're going to make dinner?
Let's be fair, though. It was vegetarian pepper steak sandwiches and french fries. It wasn't exactly the most like
in-depth
to make.
It's very true, but delicious, but doesn't take too much. But even that was a hassle to get him off the couch because that's how awesome Iron Man and Ant-Man are.
Yes. Yes. They were
just those movies for like that thing. What did we watch recently? Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And we're talking about movies that you can just put on and then they suck you in or you just leave it on because you're like, I don't care if I own this. I'm going to watch it with commercials just because it's on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just some movies, man. They get you.
But it was interesting just to be able to watch those and still feel pretty much the same way as like when you first watch it. You know, mm-hmm. it's still exactly like I still got choked up at the end of Ant-Man. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. that's just how that movie works for me.
The moments with his daughter.
Yeah.
Or even when you go back to Iron Man and the end credit scene with Nick Fury mentioning Avengers.
The Avengers Initiative and you just get so pumped.
Yeah. Where I think it's even more for me, it's more exciting now because then I didn't have the big, you know,
The vision
of what the heck was going on. Now we see where they had come in the 10 years and where we hope that they're going. We still have Avengers 4 coming out next year, Captain Marvel, the next Spider-Man. Oh my goodness. So it's cool to see Nick Fury in that scene talking about Avengers and just not even knowing where it was going to go. But now to see where it went, brilliance.
Absolutely brilliant. Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, I was pretty pumped on that one. I'm wondering with all of these movies, especially once they get to Avengers 4, if they do like a big special re-release for some of them or like bonus footage or if they do anything else that's like kind of extra on top of it. You know?
I wonder. Well, I feel like it would all be happening now with the whole, it's 10 years, you know?
Well, I would think, but probably wait until they finish out the actual like...
I don't know. Because 10 years ended.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, Avengers 4 isn't 10 years. It was...
Well, it would have been Ant-Man and the Wasp would have been the last of like the 10-year movies, yeah. right? From 2008 right. to 2018, that's your end. So,
mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm sure there will be a big box set at some point.
Nah, they have to. They absolutely have to. But one of the other things that was really cool is recently they finally put, or I guess I shouldn't say finally put, but we finally got the release of Avengers Assemble, Black Panther's Quest, and then also... Marvel.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's Avengers Assemble is the cartoon show. This is the fifth season, which was called Black Panther's Quest. So this is the fifth season of that Avengers
film. I didn't know that. Cartoon. I thought they were all just their own show, but now it makes sense that they're all kind of intertwined together.
No, they've had, each season had its own like theme. Like I think the season before one was like, what's that?
And Hero, that like... Like that they superhero feature? That they kind of feature.
No, it's kind of been all the Avengers. I think just this one with the success of Black Panther, they were like, well, let's make this season centered more along cool. Black Panther. But they've had like Secret Wars. They've had like each season has been something a little bit different.
Are the Spider-Man ones a part of this? Or is that a whole different thing?
No, as far as I know, like that one, same thing with Guardians, is it kind of exists
outside.
Oh,
Guardians isn't about... Okay, see, that's what I was thinking. Because they're all kind of similar animation, yeah, so I just assumed it's all the same thing.
I mean, I'm sure there's random episodes that have crossovers but yeah. I watched like the first season of this one, and then obviously we've been watching Black Panther's Quest, so I need to go back and watch the in-between mm-hmm. seasons to kind of get fully caught up. But the other one that they released the full-length feature, if you will, for Marvel Rising. Mm-hmm. So it was Secret Warriors. It was like, what, an hour and 20 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
So,
for the movie?
Yeah, for the film. Obviously gives us our look at Ms. Marvel, Kamala Khan, Squirrel Girl. We also got Patriot, America Chavez. Who am I missing?
In this Quake, movie, Quake.
Inferno. I think that's most of the team.
I think that was it. Yeah. Did you say Squirrel Girl?
Yeah, Squirrel Girl was the second one. Kamala Khan, mm-hmm. Squirrel Girl, oh. Quake, Patriot, Inferno.
Oh, Captain Marvel's in it.
Captain Marvel, America Chavez,
and then we're
gonna get Ghost Spider Gwen
in the
TV series. So this movie kind of kicks off the actual television series. What'd you think?
I actually really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the animation style because it kind of was a nod towards anime.
It was very anime.
The animation style anime, as well as, I don't know, kind of the dialogue too.
Yeah.
I feel like they were going with more of a, let's be out there and make things bigger. I feel like anime does that a lot where they're, let's be dramatic with what we're saying.
Yeah.
And they make the mouth like super big. Like we're yelling and screaming our sentences right now.
Yeah.
It's such an anime thing to do.
And Squirrel Girl was pretty notorious for that.
Oh, that was very much her
piece on the show.
She has her little squirrel pal, Tippy. He's adorable.
Cute. He was very cute.
He reminds me of Winnie the Pooh for some reason.
Was there a character that kind of stood out for you? Like one that you liked the most out of like
the one I liked the most, I think would have to be America.
America Chavez, yeah.
Yeah. She is awesome. And then
she has kind of like a Wonder Woman feel to her, doesn't
she?
She
does. Yeah. She does. And very strong Latina, just it talks about her backstory and her mother's. I liked that.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of different from her story, I think, in the comics, isn't it? Or is that
no,
where
no,
it
she
goes?
Was very much like an LGBTQ.
I thought
like,
she is.
Yeah.
So she is also,
yeah.
And her mother's.
Yeah,
were
she comes from like
too.
She comes from an alternate reality called
That's
Utopia.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I don't,
Parallel
I didn't
Utopia.
Know that. I didn't, yeah. I thought she was just from America.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. Just,
just yeah. Happened to be named America. Cool.
Well, I think like her real name is something different, and that's the
right.
name that she took here. That
makes sense.
But yeah, no,
gotta
just,
read that.
Yeah, very cool character. I like anytime she punches things and it makes the
a
stars.
Star.
That was
yeah.
very, very cool.
Yeah, she's very strong. She can hold
Fly.
Her own up against yeah. like Captain Marvel. Well, not against, but with Captain yeah. Marvel. So that's pretty cool. Shows how powerful she is. I think Miss Marvel was an adorable character.
Kamala
I think,
Khan.
Yeah, I think
so much fun.
She is very positive. I yeah. like the direction that they're going with the show. And then with the Inferno, I guess.
Yeah, Dante.
I really
yeah.
enjoyed him. He was pretty cool because you can tell that he's. Well, I don't want to give anything away in case you guys want to watch it. So,
right.
Well, let you decide if he's good or bad.
But you had some pretty cool voice challenge step in, obviously. You know, once they get Ghost Spider, you'll have Dove Cameron.
Yeah.
Boo Boo Stewart was the voice of Exile.
Very cool.
Yeah, which that was very cool. And then Melania Vayntrub was the voice
Girl.
Of Squirrel Girl, Doreen
yeah.
Green. And Ming-Na Wen was
yeah.
the voice of Hala.
Yeah, very cool. You can tell.
Yeah.
When you know it's them, you can hear it.
Oh, and Kamal McFadden. Is
oh, yeah.
Patriot.
Also from
and he was so good.
Mm-hmm. Also from Disney Channel.
Yeah, totally just worked. And then I can't remember the character she's playing, but Skye Jackson will also be voicing a character in the TV
Ooh.
Show series, not obviously in the film.
Yeah, so a lot of Disney stars that are being recycled into other Disney properties. So always fun to see them moving along. And I don't know, I enjoyed it. I'm actually really excited to watch this one.
Yeah.
Because even with Black Panther and all the other ones, I don't get as invested as you do with them for some reason. I don't know what it is. They just don't pull me in.
I think what I like about like the Avengers Assemble and like the Black Panther's quest is it gives us a look at characters that are... It is more along the lines of the comics. Like, we're going to get a lot of the storylines and the secondary.
That
like, you're
sense.
Never going to get Tiger Shark in a movie.
Right.
If you do,
right.
I will be so excited.
Things that work for animation.
Yeah. Like, if we never get Namor, like, I would love to see Atuma, right? And, like, we saw him in the cartoon. It'd be great, but we never even get a mention that we might get him in the film. So it's just one of those things where it's like, I like the cartoons because they can go places that we can't normally go.
Same with Lockjaw. He looks so much better.
Oh my gosh,
in
perfect.
This iteration of, they talked a lot about Inhumans in this. So Inhumans work so much better as animated
yes.
characters
oh, hands down.
Rather than the live action that
I
they
actually
went
think,
for.
I actually think even Daisy Johnson, Quake.
Yeah.
I thought she worked, and it was voiced by the same actress, by Chloe Bennett. So it was the same actress.
Bennett,
she was,
Bennett.
Just as enjoyable, if not more so enjoyable in the show. So it's almost like I feel like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. might have worked better as a cartoon as opposed to live action. And that's not taking anything away from like Clark Gregg or Ming-Na Wen. Like they've all done phenomenal jobs
in
the show.
For what it was. And then it kind of lost its luster a little bit. I think it came back at points. And
when you think about like, what is the biggest complaint that you have when it comes to live
well,
action
it's always
shows?
Like CGI.
The
and,
CGI
and
budget.
Yeah.
You don't have that with right? You don't have that with cartoons.
Exactly.
You can go as crazy as you want.
Lockjaw looks adorable,
yes.
is adorable, and does what he needs to, and it just works well for animation.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm excited for this one. I'm not even going to lie. This is probably, and I'm hoping it'll be an animation series that I'll actually stick with.
If you see the Inhuman Royal Family in the series as it progresses, would you be excited or kind of been like, or kind of like, eh, I just wanted Lockjaw? So if
oh,
you see
I'd
like
be,
Medusa and Black Bolt
I'd be
and
okay
Karnak
with it
and,
because they will work so much better.
Yeah.
Just like Lockjaw.
I love it.
Yeah.
Perfect. Anything else that you can think of that we were up to?
Oh, I'm sure there's tons, but let's move it along.
Let's get into the news.
Scanning. Here's what's going on around the galaxy.
I don't know why, but every time we do like this part, I always want to be like, the emails. Did you ever listen, like watch Strong Bad emails or like Homestar Runner?
Mm-mm.
That might have been like before your time.
I have no idea what you're talking about
oh,
right
man,
now.
Oh, man, so funny. Wow, that definitely shows the age
I'm
gap
looking
here.
Through you at
the What
moment?
Is wrong with
what
this
What is going on?
That's
yeah,
where,
what
that's
is
where
this?
Teen Girl Squad comes from, is Strong Bad.
Yeah, I didn't know that until you.
Until, yeah.
Rectangle of pizza?
Exactly. See, there you go. MSG. I'm wondering how many people out there are my age or older that remember Homestar Runner and Strong Bad.
I'm sure there's more listeners on here that are closer to your age, and they're like listening to me like, gosh, she's obnoxious.
She's so young. She knows
Learn
nothing.
Her something new.
Yeah, right. Drop some knowledge on that woman.
What are we talking about first?
We got to talk about Tim Allen.
Oh, my gosh. Have you guys heard? I'm sure you did if you're a Disney fan. If you're a Toy Story fan, holy moly. Tim Allen was recently on The Talk, I think is the show that it is. The one with Sharon Osbourne. The Talk?
The View?
No, it's not The View because that's Whoopi Goldberg. Whoopi.
Whoopi. Sure, then we'll go with The Talk.
I think it's The Talk. And the one from Roseanne. But I can't think of her name right now. Anyway, okay. So Tim Allen was on there, and they're asking him questions about Toy Story 4. Gilbert. Sarah.
There you go.
Sarah Gilbert. Anyway, so Tim Allen on The Talk. They're asking him questions about, so you're going to be in Toy Story 4, or you guys are working on Toy Story 4. Can you give us anything from it without, you know, giving too much away? And
Tim Allen was like, well, I'm only in it until Thanos snaps, and then I'm one of the ones that fades away.
He did talk about Infinity War, and since we're not saving that for in Marvel talk, right, we can just talk about what he said now. So he kind of likened it to Infinity War. He said that he's a big superhero fan and that he was worried that Avengers Infinity War wasn't going to work because it is
too many characters.
Too many characters and a lot of like small vignettes. He went on to say that Toy Story 4 is kind of the same, a lot of small vignettes that are going on.
So it's like everybody has their own mission.
Which
I'm
kind of worried now. I'm like, oh my God, are they all going to be split up? What's happening? Somebody's going to get lost. And the reason why I'm thinking this is going to happen is because then he goes on to say that getting through the ending scenes of Toy Story 4 was rough. Like couldn't get through them without like getting choked up.
Well, I mean, but that's what we kind of assume. It's like once the snap happens, right? And like they start... That's why they're in search of Bo Peep, is because she knows where the Soul Stone is. So they have to get to
you
Bo
know,
Peep.
If you know. Anybody knew, it would be Bo.
Oh, God. What if they have Zurg play like the Thanos-like character?
Like, well, Zurg already played the Vader-like
he's like
character.
Perfectly balanced, as all things should be.
Father, I'm going to go play with my dad.
I'm telling you, it's just ripe for
Vader.
The pickings.
He's the Vader of
the But you think about what Toy Story has been pretty good about still having like Star Wars references in a lot of the films. So I wonder if they do go for like a Marvel reference instead. Or like if we see toy Marvel characters and that would be
fun. I really hope because they can do this now. Like it's things like looking back and seeing Totoro in Toy Story 3.
Right?
I was so pumped. I'm like, that's Totoro. Nobody knows who the heck he was. I'm like, guys, like we should be pumped for this. What's going on? They're referencing Studio Ghibli right now. And now we can. We're at the point where they can reference Marvel in the next Toy Story movie. Oh my God. I'm really excited for that now. And now I'm going to be sad if it doesn't happen. But if you want to go check it out, just go Google, you know, The Talk, Tim Allen, or Toy Story 4. That'll be the first thing that pops up. It's nice to see him chat about it and get really excited for it. He said that he thought Toy Story 3 was amazing. And this is even better.
Dang.
Yeah, just the fact that the last, there's a lot of scenes in there that it's hard to get through for him. So, where do you think that's going to go? What's going to happen?
Well, I think you got to figure like these toys are getting older. You know what I mean? Like there's the potential for these things to break or
toys
to be lost.
Age.
Like, I mean, they get worn out. Like that's just the truth of it. Like who knows how old is Bonnie going to be at this point? Like maybe she hits Molly's like the teen years, right?
No, where, I think it's going to be pretty early on. I think it'll be early on.
Not
of them
long
being,
after.
No, not after Toy Story 3. I feel like it's going to be within maybe a year, a couple years, but I don't think she'll be out of her toy phase yet. But I think it's going to be Woody thinking, but missing Bo,
right?
Jesse has Buzz, you know, like it's all around. People are pairing up, and it's gonna go back to Woody misses Bo, and right. Bonnie would be the perfect owner for Bo.
I wonder. I'm thinking that's actually a really good point because I'm wondering if maybe they do find a toy that they thought was lost, a la Wheezy, right? Like when they thought Wheezy was lost and turned on, he was just tucked into the bookshelf. Mm-hmm. Like, what if they find a toy that was donated to Sunnyside that they thought was lost along the way, and then that toy is like, oh no, I know where Bo Peep is.
It'll
I know
probably
where
be a connection to Sunnyside.
Yeah,
for sure.
So you're like, well, if we found this toy, why can't we find all the toys? And like that's why, you know, like some of them break off because each of them kind of goes to find other people. So
I think it's going to be big. I mean, Tim Allen says it's going to be big. It's going to be huge. Indoor plumbing. Oh, my goodness. So right. I'm pumped for it. You can expect Toy Story 4 in theaters June 2019.
Dang.
That's next year.
Yeah, that's way too close.
That is really close. So I imagine we're getting a teaser trailer sometime in the next couple months.
Yeah, get on that, Disney.
I don't know. Does it work the same way for everybody as it does Marvel?
Possibly. Better at this point.
All right. So we got to talk about the Disney Dreamers applications. And if for some of you who probably don't know this, this is mostly geared towards...
I'm raising my hand.
You don't know. Okay, you right down in front. The little Sheila down in front.
Oh, it's me.
So we got to talk about this really cool program that is put on by Disney. And what it is for teenagers from the age of 13 to 19. So this is geared towards all of the parents, aunts, uncles, grandparents, whoever's listening to this that has a teenager in your life that feels that
you're trying to get rid of.
Rid of just for,
oh my goodness,
for 4 days next year. It's not much. It's from March 21st through the 24th of 2019.
Think about it, guys. There's 4 days that you can get rid of your teenager and not have to watch them play Fortnite. Four whole days.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure they'll be playing Fortnite on their phones. Is it a phone game?
Take their phones away.
Disney, lock up their phones.
They're in Disney. You're going to get a landline phone and then you'll be like, how can I play Fortnite on this?
What do I do with this thing? Anyway, so just to give you a rundown what it is from the actual site so I don't butcher it. Each spring, 100, so yes, it is a process. 100 exceptional young people arrive at the Disney Dreamers Academy with ambition, excitement, and hopes for the future. 4 days later, they return home with the motivation, guidance, and skill to help make those dreams come true. So basically, it's a big workshop put on by Disney, and they have a bunch of guest speakers. This big celebrity speaker is, oh gosh, why can't I think of his name right now? Let me find it.
Does it start with Tim and end in L?
No, it's Steve Harvey. There you go. The host of that game show that we watch sometimes.
Family Foods.
Sure, that one. Family Foods.
Family Foods.
That's a game I want to be involved with.
Right.
Anyway, so he is the big celebrity host for this year, but there's a lot of other celebrity hosts. I want to say 10 more. So.
Is he going to like pick the 100, but then get it wrong, and he has to pick a new 100?
Oh.
Too soon?
Always too soon. I don't really know when that happened. Was that last year? Was it two years ago? Then it's not too soon. It's way past that time. Anyway, so you can submit your application right now online or you can do it by mail, but you have until October 31st. So that's why I wanted to put this out there, because you only have till the end of this month, October 31st. Get your teenagers on this if you think that they have kind of just that...
What it takes.
That vision for the future. And this program has gone on to see people who have graduated into being doctors, lawyers, journalists, basically everything out there that you want your kids to be. This program has kind of, I guess, molded, you know? So...
Bob Iger went through this
and
program.
They get a free paid trip to Disney World, them and one parent or guardian. So for two, you get a paid trip to Disney World for 4 days. I don't know if you get to go into the parks all days or what that consists of, but you get airfare. So you get your travel and you get your room and board as well as the program itself. So Everything is paid for you. Food, board, the parks, I think you get some sort of trips into the parks, but you might want to look into that just in case. Apply now at DisneyDreamersAcademy.com.
They're all like,
just tell your kids to do it.
Right.
You want
to
go.
They're all like, I don't want to look into it. That's why we listen to you guys. You look into it.
DisneyDreamersAcademy.com. Go. Yeah, there you go. Easy.
Go,
simple.
Go now. You got this.
Right. October 31st. Let's talk about those Mickey Mouse Vans that are going to be released this Friday. October 5th. Vans is doing another Disney collaboration in honor of Mickey Mouse, because if you guys didn't know, after listening to almost every episode this year, Mickey will be 90 on November 18th of this year. So, of course, Vans, like they did just recently with the Marvels line, and then probably a few years ago, they did another Disney line that we missed because
the one that had like Jungle Book and...
That one was also one... Yeah, that was part of that one. And then they did a Toy Story run after that one. So they've been on the ball with all of these Vans collections. But now, to celebrate the mouse himself, which obviously if you couldn't tell from any of our celebration of Mickey post for our Disney party not that long ago, we kind of love Mickey Mouse. These ones are right up our alley. And I want all the dang pears. It's so hard to choose. There's probably three that I really, really want.
And there's probably like zero that you're going to actually get.
Exactly, because that's what happened with the last ones. Is the ones I wanted were the first ones to sell out, and I'm kind of bummed. So this one, you can expect to see things from early years of the mouse, from Plain Crazy. I want to say they have things from Fantasia. What else? There was like an 80s inspired line.
Oh, that 90s don't say inspired. 80s. That was very much a.
No, there's a 90s and an 80s.
There was
one,
like a Saved by the Bell. Like,
oh, I guess looks, that would be more 90s, right?
Yeah.
I think they're saying it's 80s, but you're right. I do see more of the Saved by the Bell style.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we'll say 80s, 90s line. Retro. It's a retro line. Yeah, if you were born in the 90s, you are now considered retro, guys. Anyway, so yeah. I'm looking forward to some of these. Is there a pair that sticks out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I liked the straight up Mickey ones, the ones that were like the red, black with the yellow, like the yellow
those
sole.
Those are cool.
Those ones are pretty cool. But I also definitely, I'm starting to feel those Fantasia ones.
The Fantasia.
Which is funny because I'm not really a Fantasia person, but I was thinking about it.
They're gorgeous.
So this is why I think I'm going to go with those.
Why?
Is because they're sorcerer shoes.
Yeah.
And what's my Disney soccer jersey?
Oh, yeah. They were the sorcerers. They'll look really good with that jersey.
So I'm like, I kind of feel like to have it be themed and work, I think I got to go.
All right. So those have, and what he's talking about, the Fantasia ones, they are themed after Sorcerer Mickey, and they have the stars, the moons. They're like blue suede. They're gorgeous. The laces have stars on them. I want to say the hat is on the back of the shoe, but they haven't showed a picture of it, so I'm not really sure. And those are on my top list as well. So I kind of want those ones, but I also want the ones that have all the different Mickeys on them.
Kind of like the Mickey Marvel throughout shoes the that year. I have.
Yeah, like, yeah. Like the Marvel heads. These ones have the Mickey, all the different styles of Mickeys throughout the year. So those ones are kind of sticking out to me. And then I kind of like those retro ones just because they're really funky in colors and I really like funky colors.
And I feel like those are shoes that you can pull off. I don't particularly think those are shoes that are like quite my style, but I do think the sorcerer ones or the straight up Mickeys or the vintage ones, but the vintage ones would be just like my Marvel ones.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I really need two shoes that look almost exactly the same.
And then there's a Minnie Mouse pair. They have cute big bows on them. Not quite my style, but they're adorable. I'm sure a ton of people would love those out there. But yeah, there's a lot of options. You can go to our Instagram page, swipe through the pictures. There's more that they haven't showed yet, but those are what we can see so far. This Friday, October 5th, they will be on sale at a Vans near you.
How radical. Cool. Was that all we had for?
That is all for the Disney.
All right. Well, let's get into some Marvel news here. So Ant-Man and the Wasp, we will have the digital release will actually be today or I guess it would be tomorrow for most of you guys as you're listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
For those that are listening to it as soon as it drops, for those that are listening to it the day after we actually dropped it, then yes, it's happening today.
Yay!
But yeah, you can get it on digital Blu-ray, and then it's usually the 2 weeks out. So for October, we're looking at what, like the 23rd? Or no, sorry,
no,
16th.
Yes.
We're thinking a week further.
Yeah, so 16th will be the Blu-ray edition, which is usually the one we wait for, which is kind of a bummer, because after watching Ant-Man, we
really want it now.
Watch it, yeah. So digital release now. It's released today, guys. Get your digital copy. And then 2 weeks from now, you can, if you can hold out, you get your Blu-ray copy.
And how many of you out there like get the digital copy for, like, you don't even wait for it to come out on Blu-ray. You're like, well, I can just get the digital one, watch it now, and I'm good to go. I don't need the physical copy anymore.
I think there's a lot of people who do that. I don't think a physical copy is that high in demand anymore.
Just for us, because we're weirdos that are like, we don't have enough room for all the movies we have now.
Well, that's kind of what it is. We have so many friends who downgrade, like who just, like, think about even Josh and Gavin and Charlie. Like, they, you know, were getting rid of all their slipcovers and stuff just to put them, or no, put them in a slipcover, getting rid of the hard
boxes.
Yeah, to, like, free up space. And it's true. When you have a ton of movies, you run out of space so quickly. And shows, a freaking season, you know, has 10 discs in one season.
I think what it is, though, at least for me, and I think you might be pretty much the same way, is that I loved Blockbuster Video.
Yes.
So to
and
have
the
like
idea
a,
to look through and see all the pictures.
And I want to say, is it in Hot Fuzz where he like opens up the closet doors and it's just filled with films? Like even the doors themselves have shelves that have movies on them. And I've just always wanted something like that. I just wanted something that has just way too many movies.
Bell's Library.
Yes, but for movies. VHS films.
I'm okay with that.
No, just any kind of movie, whether it's VHS or DVD or Blu-ray, like I'll take Laserdisc. I mean, I'd have to find a Laserdisc player, or you know, if it was Betamax, I'd have to find a Betamax player. But still, those are the things that I would love to have. So someday we'll get there, but in the meantime, we'll at least wait for this to come out in the actual Blu-ray so we can go and pick it up.
Yeah, so don't spoil the movie for us because we've only seen it once.
Right, as though we could ever forget. So we got to talk a little bit about Fox and how they continue to not really know what to do with the things that they have. So Dark Phoenix, the trailer dropped just this past week.
Yeah.
It dropped on, God, what was it, The Late Show? It dropped like at midnight,
yeah,
which was super weird that they, not weird because I do feel like that's something that Fox has typically gone with, but I feel like just with the X-Men films, because the Deadpool trailers have usually dropped pretty early in the morning. Mm-hmm. Obviously, all the MCU movies, for the most part, have always dropped during the day. So it was weird that they were going to wait till like the absolute end of the evening to be able to drop
ratings
this trailer.
Ratings on one of their shows.
That's
makes
what I'm
sense.
Guessing. So the Dark Phoenix trailer drops because it's our first look at the actual film itself. The look at the costumes, the jackets, if you will, that are very reminiscent of the Grant Morrison, Frank Quitely new X-Men run, which I'm a fan of the storyline, but not particularly the art. But I do like that those costumes. And I showed you a picture
of
it.
Yes. Oh, it's spot on.
Oh, yeah.
It is definitely those costumes. I love that. I like that they do the nods to the actual comics because that's kind of what we want to see, guys.
Yeah. This is kind of the goal.
The comics come to life.
And I was actually pretty excited. I thought the trailer did pretty good justice to the film or to what we can expect for the movie. There were a lot of scenes that felt very reminiscent of when they tried to adapt Dark Phoenix before in X-Men The Last Stand. No, it was X3.
Was it X3?
Yeah, X2 was X-Men United. That was the one where they explored Wolverine's past and they meet with General Stryker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
X3 was the one that was Brett Ratner's direction instead of Brian Singer.
Really gotta go back to these movies. It's been a while.
No, we definitely need to because it's been way too long. And I bet you Remy would love watching those early X-Men
films. Yeah, he's all about X-Men right now.
Yes, he is. So with this one, there were definitely a lot of beats that it felt like they took. And if I remember correctly, Simon Kinberg, the director for this, was one of the writers that had worked on Last Stand. So it's kind of obviously like he has an affinity for this storyline.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm excited for it. I'm not blown away by what I saw, but I am interested to see the way that they go through this. And it is fun because we just recently bought X-Men Apocalypse, which we forgot to mention. But yeah, so we just bought that one finally. And watching that definitely got me excited to see a continuation of these new characters.
We're not behind on movies at all.
Oh,
guys.
Not even a little bit. but then Fox decided like days later, it was like 2 or 3 days later.
I think it was like the next day
that they decided that they were going to push the release date from February 14th to, I want to say early June 7th, I want to say.
Sounds about right.
Which was really weird because they were going to move Attila Battle Angel from its December, which obviously December is already kind of cluttered. They were going to move that back to February 14th so that it wouldn't have as much competition. And then what Fox said, which I kind of doubt the validity of this, but they say the reason for the movement on Dark Phoenix was because it was going to be the reception to the trailer was incredibly positive in China and the surrounding territories. So they decided to move it back because on February 14th, it would still be it would be too close to the Chinese New Year that it may be overlooked by some people. So they decided to move back to summer. That way they can spend even more time marketing it, kind of build up that hype for that summer release. I mean, I kind of get it, but because if you move it out of, like, if you keep it in February, it's going to have less than a month before Captain Marvel comes.
Yes.
And that's going to really hurt its long-term, its longevity. Whereas if it comes out in June, by that point, you've already got Infinity War has already come out.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time June's rolling around, it's already been out for over a month. And then you have another month before Far From Home comes out. So it is kind of like that middle between the two other tentpoles.
I mean, I don't think it'll beat any of those movies, but
no.
I think it'll be the superhero excitement again, where it's just like, I'm pumped off of all these superhero movies. I just want to see them all. I think that's kind of what we'll get from it.
But I was pumped to have this movie in November. The fact that it's moved from November to February to now June of next year. Like, to me, that just shows that they released the trailer, people responded well to it, and then they were like, we probably have to make a bunch of changes. because they're listening to the feedback that people, the criticism that people have.
I definitely think,
and they're like, we can't have another Fantastic Four. So we really, I mean, even with Apocalypse, critics really liked it, but fans were kind of split down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're going to be very careful about how do we get.
Sounds all so familiar,
right? They're like, how do we maximize how this film is going to be received? But I think the problem with that is then you're constantly reevaluating what you've done, and it's like, just release it. Let people see what you've got. And then even with that, that also means I think they moved. I mean, New Mutants was already still in August, and then Gambit was supposed to be that June date in 2019, mm-hmm. and now that one has been moved to 2020.
I think New Mutants was one that also got moved around because that one, after they saw that people responded well to the horror aspect of it, they wanted to make it even scarier.
Yeah, they went full in.
They went full on horror film. So that makes sense. And that's honestly probably exactly what they're doing with Dark Phoenix. They heard what people want to hear or what they want to see from the Dark Phoenix story. I'm sure people want to see more close to the comics.
Right.
And with that, maybe they strayed a little bit in some aspects and they're going to be smart and give... I don't know, viewers what they want.
See, and I don't want to get too far in the weeds on this.
But, we will.
But Kevin Feige is a big fan of the 90s, right? Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the storylines that he's adapted, a lot of the things, the characters and the arcs that he's kind of gone for, the looks of characters, mm-hmm. he's really kind of pulled more from the 90s than almost any other era when it comes to Marvel Comics. So my concern is if you pull too much from like the late 80s and 90s, we're going to get a lot of redundancy once the X-Men are finally integrated into the MCU.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of really good storylines in the 90s that I don't want to see, and early 2000s, that I don't
want to see. But wasn't Phoenix like early 80s?
Well, yeah. Well, because Dark Phoenix was a Claremont run.
Yeah, so you know it was like late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, well, yeah, more into the 80s. But it, even at that point, you've got to figure it's like, I don't know. I feel like Fox has already done a Dark Phoenix. And they didn't do it well.
Right. Well, so, that's why they're trying to do one better.
But I kind of feel like it would have been better to just do Phoenix.
Yeah.
Before you need to get all the way into Dark Phoenix. So.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I think at this point, we're just hoping to see this storyline done by Kevin Feige.
Yeah.
Really, that's what it is.
And the other thing is everybody thinks that Jessica Chastain's character is a Skrull. They think that which would be weird because if you were going to introduce Skrulls, why wouldn't you keep the February 14th release so that way you get to use Skrulls before first. Captain Marvel does? Whereas if you come out after the fact, then we've already seen Skrulls, and now if your version of the Skrull doesn't look the same, it's going to be obnoxious.
It doesn't necessarily mean that they're right just because people think that she's a Skrull. Why?
No, I think, don't. No, I think that she's Shi'ar. I think that she's...
That's the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah.
And right now they're just calling her Smith
yes.
because she's going by an Earth...
Generic name. Yep.
And Smith is the most common.
Right.
Not shocking at all.
My sister can attest to that.
Exactly. It's very common.
So I don't know. I mean, for me, I'm not super worried about this. I mean, it's kind of Fox is going to do Fox.
I'm pumped for it. I actually was really pumped for what I saw in the trailer. I'm excited. It has that X-Men feel. I know so many people are back and forth on those movies and whether they're good or not. I am on the good side.
Yeah.
I enjoyed what they had given me. Also, I only knew X-Men from the shows and very little from comics. Not as much as you and other comic readers that really know the storylines, like every sentence by sentence and knows exactly who is who. So I can see why people are split down the middle because you want it to be close to what you are familiar with.
Yeah,
and for
course.
Me, I was just happy that they were giving us anything.
Right, right.
So I'm pumped on these movies. They still get me excited. I enjoyed this latest trilogy. I actually really enjoyed. So the whole First Class I thought was amazing.
I think I loved First Class, and I would have loved to have Matthew Vaughn continue on with that trilogy because the way that he shot it, the way that the characters were, I feel like once Bryan Singer took back over, it started to get darker again. Like,
you're right. You're the good point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything didn't feel as bright and as happy and as hopeful. Everything started to take like almost like the DC hue, where it's like the coloration, everything always seems overcast and cloudy, which is exactly what he did with the first two X-Men films.
Yeah. Well, I think that's just the direction they go with X-Men. They look at this group as like such a dark group, and it's like, why can't X-Men be a positive team? Because that's exactly what they are in the comics, is they're trying to bring positivity to the fact that they are mutants, that the fact that they are different from humans and all the other people who are against them.
Yeah.
like that is kind of the point of their team. It's like they are still fighting for mankind, even though mankind is fighting against them.
Yeah, and bring like showcase the colorful diversity that they that they exhibit. So
let's make it a positive thing.
Exactly. So I mean, I'm still excited for it, but at the same time, there'll be a little bit of apprehensive.
What were you talking about, Gambit?
Oh, with Gambit, they just moved that back to 2020, and it still hasn't even started.
Oh.
And now they're supposed to be saying that instead of like a heist, instead of a heist, emotional dark film, it's now going to be a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
Not really sure how I feel about that one. I mean, I know that Channing Tatum can do well with that genre because he's done it before, but I really don't need Gambit does 21 Jump Street. You know what
Good
I mean?
Good point.
I want Gambit to be taken. I want him to still have humor and still be fun, but I want the character to feel authentic to what he is. And I feel like we're starting to drift further away
I
from that.
I think the heist idea, the more darker, I don't know, just more serious and more emotional.
Yeah.
I feel like works better for Gambit. And
you can
still
have the romance. You can still have the humor.
Yeah. The jokes here and there.
But if you make it like too jokey, it's going to feel like X-Men Origins again. And that's not the version of Gambit that I want. But I mean, maybe people are more into this.
It might be right. I know you're also not a big rom-com fan.
I'm
so
not.
And I think that's a bigger bummer for you.
Because I was really thinking about that, and it's like anytime we see a commercial for a rom-com, I have not even no interest to see it in the theater. I have no interest to see it.
To see it, right.
Yeah, at all.
See, and then for the opposite of me, where I am, because what female isn't, but I don't know. There's some really good ones out there. I just don't. I like that who's doing it? Is it also Kinberg? Is that who? No.
Well, right now, they've gone through so many directors.
Mm-hmm.
Gore Verbinski was the last one that was attached to it. But now, it is looking like it's going to be Simon Kinberg,
right,
who's also the director, obviously, for
Dark
Phoenix.
Yeah, so he went on to say that he uses the term romantic comedy in the loosest sense possible.
But then why even use it? Because you know that's going to brand it a certain way,
right?
It
really does, yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
It'd
I'm
be
still
like
positive.
If I was like, here, have a bite of this sandwich. I mean, it kind of tastes like crap, but I want you to try it. And you're like, well, if it tastes like crap, why would I want that?
Good point.
Or it's like, hey, smell this. Does that smell awful to you? It's like, if it smells awful to you, then yes, I'm sure.
I don't want to smell your armpits, Liam.
Yeah,
stop
no.
making me smell your armpits.
That's what, oh, God. I think there's some...
But not everybody looks at, like we said, rom-coms. It's not everybody's thing, but... And maybe it's not a big comic book thing. I don't know. But not everybody looks at it as a negative.
But even
you know?
For you, somebody that does like romantic comedies, hearing that the Gambit solo movie is going to be a romantic comedy, does that get you excited? Be honest. Like, if it does, then that's who it's catering to.
Yes, it does. I'm more sad that it's not, you're not excited. Because
okay.
I know how much you love Gambit. And, I don't know, our kid's name is Remy. It's kind of a thing.
Right.
It makes me sad that you're worried about it. And I'm like, can you just give us a good Gambit movie? Come on.
Oh,
and
God.
You're
waiting so
luckily
long.
you're on board with Channing Tatum. That one I was worried that you were never going to be on board with. I did not think that he was going to be someone that you were going to like, but you did. And so I was like, okay, we're getting there. Baby steps. It's happening. And then slowly it's kind of falling apart. Like every time we get a new article, something is just, it's getting worse and worse.
It's never good
it's
news.
It's making me really worried for this film, but I'm still on the positive side of it. I know I'm going to enjoy it, whether it's a heist film, whether it's a rom-com. I don't care what it is. I know I'm going to enjoy it. I don't really think there's going to be anything that's going to make me hate it, but
I think
I'm just more sad if you're going to hate it.
Yeah, I think for me it's going to be tough because my expectations are so high for
they
the
are,
character
yes.
that it's going to be really hard for them to kind of hit that.
Yes.
And it's so difficult to do that character justice without putting him in a team setting first. I think doing a solo outing is not a good decision for this character.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like doing a Wolverine solo movie before you really put him in with the X-Men. Like, yeah, will it still be good? Yeah. But it would be great if you got to see him in that team setting first and then you got to see him. Absolutely. I mean, even Wolverine, he was introduced in Incredible Hulk.
Me.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bless you. So it's like you kind of have, you know, there's, oh, weird. Sounded like a sneeze, you sneezy weirdo. Allergies. So yeah, I don't know. I'm drifting off in the weeds here, but yeah. So we'll see.
I'm
I mean,
just
here's hoping
that
2020
it's not
brings us
Christensen. That's the only thing I'm bummed about.
I mean, he could have done all right.
I think he could have done all right
for a Canadian. He could have done all right.
I bet you anything. If he could have pulled off an accent, I think he would have been a great Gambit.
He could act the way he did when he was AJ from Taker.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Oh, I'm honestly, I'm more bitter that it's Channing Tatum than it's anything else. Because the more that we're going along with it, the more I'm getting away from Channing Tatum. I was on board immediately with Channing Tatum. And then now that it's taking this long, I'm like, honestly, I don't even believe in the movie anymore. I don't even think Channing Tatum should do it.
See, well, it's just going to be weird because they keep pushing it back. And eventually Channing Tatum is going to be the same age that Patrick Stewart was in the first X-Men movie.
Yep.
So it's just going to be like, we're going to get a bald, like crippled version of Gambit, which is just not going to be exciting or romantic for anybody.
Also, I wasn't a fan of like the imposed like images of Channing Tatum in the Gambit costume. Yeah. I don't like them. And seeing him like that, I'm just like, oh God, I hope you look good in the movie.
Well, I doubt they're going to do that costume.
I know, but if they do,
they're going to do.
I just hope he looks good in it.
It's Fox. He's going to be in all black with an all black trench coat. I'm calling it. He's going to look like freaking Blade. He's not going to be in the pink.
No.
He's not going to have the cool brown trench coat.
He needs
coat.
His brown trench. The trench coat better be brown. Just saying.
It's going to be black.
It better be brown.
All right. So let's move around to that. The next little bit of Fox news. So Fox also, you know, doing what Fox does, and they've decided to re-release Deadpool, but this time they're going to do it with a PG-13 rating. So this will be Deadpool 2 coming out this December, and this will be PG-13. And apparently from the images that we've got, is the way they're going to work around a lot of the profanity and gore is that they're going to have it be as though Deadpool is the grandfather from Princess Bride, and he is reading the story to Fred Savage, who is sick in bed and still wearing his Chicago Bears jersey.
I don't care who's against this. You're wrong. It's right. This is the way to do it.
This is the only way to do
this. I'm okay with this. I'm okay with a PG-13 Deadpool. I know, guys, you hate me. It's wrong. You shouldn't make Deadpool PG-13. Everybody's so pissed. I don't care. I'm a Hufflepuff. I will admit it. I'm okay with PG-13 movies.
But do you think that they did this for a cash grab to try to get additional money? Because remember, this is art on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
People can already watch this in the comfort of their home. Do you think that this is a cash grab on Fox's part? Or do you think that they are doing this as a test run to see if under a PG-13 rating, how he could be utilized in the MCU?
I'm sure it's both. Obviously, Deadpool brings in money and it's a way to make a quick buck off of Deadpool because then it goes into the whole Star Wars thing where people go see these movies now to see what they're gonna hate. It's not like that they're gonna enjoy it. People go to spend their money to talk crap about it because that's how people are. Sure, I'm gonna spend money on something I know I'm not gonna like and enjoy because people, humans, that's what we do. And it's really sad, but I also think that's something like this. It's gonna be all the people who are like, oh, Deadpool should never be anything but R. I bet you anything you're all gonna buy a ticket and you're gonna go see it at PG-13 just so you can talk about it. If you think it's gonna suck, don't buy that ticket. Don't put your money towards it. And then you won't have to worry about Disney ruining our movies of Deadpool.
Right.
Because if you put your money towards it and it seems like it's going to be accepted, they are going to make a PG-13 Deadpool.
All the time. Or that will be the only version. And then you'll only get the Blu-ray R where they add in the
because
scenes that are like more gore,
because that's how companies work.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Is this something that you would want to go see?
I would totally see this. I am okay with that. I enjoy Deadpool, the movies that for what they were, even under the R rating, I was okay with it. Yeah. I'm not like
It has to be R to make.
No, yeah. That's not
thing. But that's what the argument is people say that what Fox really started to find success because of Logan, which was R, and then Deadpool, which was rated R. I don't think that it's because those movies were R. I think that they just tried something different with the characters.
Yep.
Like they went in a new direction, like especially with Wolverine, with Logan.
And it was a different story.
Yes.
It needed to be darker.
Well, even with it being darker, like it's still, honestly, in my opinion, it didn't have to be R, and it still could have been, it still would have been a phenomenal movie. Deadpool, same thing. Like, yes, maybe you don't get all of the jokes, but I'm positive that Ryan Reynolds could be just as funny saying the F word once in the film as opposed to 20 times.
What makes things R? Like language?
Well, yeah, language, nudity.
Obviously nudity.
And gore. Those are like violence, basically. Violence and gore. And you got to remember in Deadpool 2, there is the scene where he goes to like the Japanese bathhouse and he basically like hacks all those dudes apart.
See, and that's the part where stuff like that, I'm like,
it didn't have to
be that way, but that's the, again, Hufflepuff side of me where I get what he's coming from. I know what he can do. I know he can cut all these people into pieces.
Yeah.
it's not a big deal that I see it on screen.
Right. It's not a necessity for me to enjoy the film.
Yes. But for some people it is. Like that yeah. it goes on to the horror genre of things, you know? Like I enjoy a good scary movie, but honestly, since having a child, a lot of things change and I don't need to see people bleeding profusely. It's just not something I want to see.
Is this something you take Remy to?
Obviously not.
What?
No, he does not get to see a PG-13 Deadpool.
What? He sees a PG-13 MCU movie like 3 times a year. Yeah, you do.
Remy just said, yeah, I do.
Remy, do you want to see Deadpool? Yeah. What about Venom? Yeah.
His face, the biggest smile, saying yes.
Yeah.
Mom, this will be
both PG-13, and I'm pretty sure if you look at the back cover of majority of those MCU films.
Oh, I know they all
are. PG-13. Oh, did we say take him to see Force Awakens? We sure did. PG-13.
Oh, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the number of... I was the kid who went into our movies because my mother was the one who was like, yeah, I'll buy your ticket. Just get out of the house for 3 hours. Thank you. Bye. I was able to see these movies. You were the one who wasn't. So... are you going to let your kids see these movies?
Heck yeah, I'm going to let them see them because I didn't get to see them. So I'm not going to deny my kids the things that I was denied.
This will be a discussion off air, guys. We'll come back to you with our decision family. Next week. Oh, possibly not. All right, so what are we talking about now? Talking about some Spider-Man 2 footage?
Yeah, so with this one, this was actually pretty cool because we had seen some leaked footage that showed the... Spider-Man suit, which looked like it was all black, which was people were throwing out like, oh, it's Spider-Man Noir or it's the stealth suit.
It's Miles Morales.
Some sources have said that it is still the Stark suit that actually can just change color. Like it goes into stealth mode just as it goes into like interrogation mode or kill mode or what, instant kill, right? There you go.
Yeah.
But I don't particularly think that's the case. I think that this is him having specifically like a stealth suit.
Mm-hmm.
Because he probably needs it in some regard. I don't think this is us getting like symbiote Spider-Man, but we got to see some images, some footage, as well as some stills with him in the black suit. And then we also got to see Mysterio. Now he's not wearing the fishbowl helmet, but that's not to say that they don't add that in post because maybe it's not exactly. Something that's like easy to wear while you're kind of trying to act out a scene. And then also in the footage that the leaked footage that came out, you kind of see a whole lot of like destruction.
Yeah.
I'm guessing this was supposed to be in Sicily. No, not Sicily.
They're in Venice.
Venice. There you go. So they're in Venice, Italy, and it looks like it was a carnival or something. Some of the footage shows like some sort of a Ferris wheel. What I'm guessing is either they're going to put the fishbowl mask on in post-production, or it was broken during the fight, and that's why he doesn't have it by the time we see the footage, because you see Spider-Man kind of standing up, you see Mysterio starting to stand up, and it's obviously Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, yeah.
And then you see, like, 3 all-black cars, which a lot of people were saying, like, oh, that's probably S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, no.
I don't think it's S.H.I.E.L.D., because at this point in time in the MCU, unless something drastically changes, S.H.I.E.L.D. is still very undercover. S.H.I.E.L.D. Yes. is not the agency that it was in the early years of the MCU. I'm going to say that this is probably, like, MI6. Mm-hmm. Because we had heard rumors that Jessica Drew, a.k.a. Spider-Woman, was going to make an appearance in this movie as an MI6 agent who is like well-versed in martial arts and espionage.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that to me probably lends itself a little bit more to what we would expect. And I don't think this is like the finale of the film. I think this is sort of like earlier on in the movie. So I don't know. I'm excited to see where it goes. What about for you? Finally being able to see that footage, did it get you like pumped for it?
Oh, I'm pumped every time Tom Holland posts a freaking selfie of himself on set. And that's kind of almost every day that he's posting things of him and Zendaya and, oh, what's his name? What's Ned's name? I don't know Ned's real name.
Oh.
Anyway, he keeps posting like stuff of them on their like their days off, and I'm just super pumped for this movie.
Is it Jason?
It might be Jason.
Jason
B.
Yeah, it starts with a B. Yeah.
Anyway, Jason.
Babylon.
I think it is Babylon. Yeah. I think so. Good pull. Anyway, so yeah, I'm pumped for this. It's cool to see all of the extra footage. I am not one that needs to see all of this extra footage, but if it's there in front of my face, of course I'm going to look at it, which it occasionally pops up on some searches for Marvel news. And I'm just surprised that people sneak in drones to see this stuff. That's honestly what gets me the most, like, come on, guys. Like, put the drones away. I get that we have this technology, but do you really need to utilize it? No.
Well, yeah, because otherwise we don't get a first look at Black Suit Spider-Man and friggin' Mysterio.
We'll be even as excited or more pumped watching it on screen.
I know. That's
or
true.
In a trailer. Like, it will be okay if we don't get this extra
honestly,
footage.
If it's not people with drones, it's people hiding in buildings or sneaking onto set. Like, people have always found a way
people
to be able to do
people working on the films.
Yes. No, honestly, that's always
things.
The way
no,
that it's gone.
It's true, it is. I'm just really surprised that they're like, they don't shoot the drones down. I would.
Or have, like, an interference net to, like, make sure that the drones...
Just do it, yeah. Man. Utilize whatever you do in these movies right? In real life.
Create the technology that is fake in the movies.
Yeah, so I'm pumped for this movie.
Nice.
I'm ready for it.
All right. You ready to dive into some Star Wars news?
Sure. Let's talk about Kathleen Kennedy.
All right. So Ms. Kennedy herself, Mrs. Kennedy? Ms. Kennedy herself actually got a 3-year extension as part of the contract with Lucasfilm. So she will continue to head up the studio going into all the way into 2021. Mm-hmm. Much to the chagrin of a lot of YouTube Star Wars aficionados. But we don't really pay attention to those guys anymore because they're all just angry
trolls?
Oh, they're angry trolls living in their mom's basement or under a bridge, depending on what kind of troll you're
both?
Imagining in your head. Can it be both? For me, I'm totally in favor of this. I think that in a word, or in so many words, I feel like she has kind of saved Star Wars.
Yep.
Because when you really think about after Episode 3, George Lucas had come out multiple times saying that he was not going to do another Star Wars movie. He'd even said that he would leave it up to his kids if they ever wanted mm-hmm. to go on to do a movie. But even that was going to be decades down the road. So, I mean, when you figure... After Revenge of the Sith, that's 2005, we get the Clone Wars cartoon for the next couple of years. Like, what? It was like 2008 into, what, 5 seasons? So 2013, something like that.
It's coming back.
Yeah. I
mean, not that one. That one is coming back.
Because the other one was 2003. That was like way back.
Yes.
But, you know, you kind of look at that and you're like, we really weren't getting that much Star Wars anymore.
Right.
So we had kind of moved past it in... You know, Disney having that acquisition really gave us the opportunity to revisit the galaxy that we'd all fallen in love with, you know, in our youth. So I think that this, as frustrated as some people are out there with some of the decisions that Kathleen has made, you also have to appreciate the fact that Star Wars is even still a thing that
yep.
you can complain about. You mm-hmm. know, otherwise it would just be we'd be rewatching the original trilogy and the prequels and just like. Wishing of what could have been.
Mm-hmm.
But this way we actually get that. Maybe certain movies aren't your flavor. Maybe other ones are, or the cartoons or the live action that's coming up. But you just have to appreciate the fact that it's still Star Wars. So for me, I'm super excited about this. What about you?
Oh, I'm pumped. I would have been bummed if she got let go anytime this year or anytime soon. Just because I feel like that would give in to the people who hate her so much.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that she should have got her deal extended just because of that. Because that shouldn't be a reason either.
No.
But I just like that it's a stick it to them kind of thing that ended up happening. But also, I do feel like she's done great. I mean, Disney has made back their money with their deal, obviously the $4 billion that it was to just buy it, and now they've already made that money and then some, because with the movies alone they made that money, and we don't even know with merch and everything else going on in the parks and, you know, things like that, they've made even more money. So we don't know that exact number, but obviously, and it's been what, just a few years. 5 years? 12, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80? 6 years?
6 years, yeah. Because, well, 2012 was when they did the announcement.
Sorry, guys.
Right? Was it 2012?
2012.
And then the first film came out in 2015. So really, it's only been, what, 3 years
three
since
years
the movies have been coming out?
Yeah, to make that money.
Yeah,
3 years to make $4 billion.
Yeah, so they've gotten
movies.
The return on their investment, obviously. But do you feel like that, as much as with Bob Iger, with Uncle Bob, kind of taking the blame for the Star Wars fatigue, if you will,
mm-hmm.
Do you think that that was sort of for him to redirect some of the criticisms
yep.
towards himself, and then with one hand and then the other hand be like, well, it's because we're going to extend her contract, and
I
I'd rather
so.
Have people be mad at me than at her.
I think so, but I think that also shows more to his character. With, you know, how he runs a business, it makes sense. Is at the end of the day, people may be looking at her, but then when they want to go and discuss that Disney is the problem, then he is going to be the person that they turn to, that they look towards, that they put all the anger, I guess, issues towards. But I think that that shows his character, you know, just showing that, hey, I am the one who makes these calls in the long you know, at the end of the day, I make the calls when the movies get put out. Yes, they have a say on what happens in the movies, and he kind of does too. Right. But mostly his is just about the timeline and should we make more? Can we make more?
Well, also, though, I think it's interesting because his contract isn't as long as hers.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like he could take the blame knowing that he's probably going to retire in the next year or so.
I don't think that's any of it, though.
You know?
I don't think it's she'll still be here anyway. I think he's just a good person.
No, I know Bobby I is a good guy. He's a good dude. He's a bro.
Yeah, you know him. He's a dude, personal bro. Experience.
But I don't know. There is kind of that wonder where he's like, it's like, well, he could take the blame because he's like, well, how much longer do I really have here anyways?
So. No, I don't think so. I think he knows how to run his business and he realizes that there is a huge problem in the Star Wars universe right now. Star Wars galaxy, I probably should say. But I just feel like he realized all the criticism that is going towards her. I can imagine how she feels. I hope she doesn't read an article ever.
I feel like she's been in the business long enough she probably has pretty thick skin.
Yeah, so, and to think about like all of the crap, like whether you don't like Force Awakens or you don't like Last Jedi, think about the other movies she's freaking worked on. Do you like E.T.? You probably do.
Right.
Because she's worked on that movie. What else did she work? Back to the Future.
Future, yeah.
Jurassic Park. Like, she's worked on, I don't know, kind of the biggest iconic movies out there.
Right.
And you want to stick her for maybe one movie that you hate that she's done?
Yeah.
Get over it.
Right.
Just move along.
Move along. Move along. Perfect. So congratulations, Miss Kennedy. We look forward to seeing what else you bring to the Star Wars universe. Speaking of the Star Wars universe, we also have an extended teaser trailer that was recently released for our upcoming... Oh, God, that comes out this month.
Yeah,
comes out
that
like,
was also
yeah, like next
in a couple
week.
Weeks. Yeah.
Yeah, so Star Wars Resistance is coming. And I kind of feel like with each trailer, they've kind of given us a more in-depth look at the cast and crew of the Colossus.
Yeah, it's getting, I think, more interesting for sure. The story is shining now compared to the animation. I think the animation was really rough for a lot of people. I think us included, too. It was different.
The first look was not what we were expecting when we heard anime.
Yes, but the more that you watch it and the more that you hear what's going on with where the plot is going to go, I'm on board. I'm actually really interested to hopefully jump into this one and maybe stick with it now that we do have Disney XD.
Right.
If it does go to Disney XD or if it stays on Disney Channel, I don't know. It is one of those 10 o'clock at night premiere. So many people are thinking like, really? This is a kid's show? Why are you getting it at 10? I just want to let you know that they do this for all of their cartoons. I don't know if you knew that, but most of these cartoons actually do air at either 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And then after that, the seasons go on to release earlier. That's just how it goes. That's what they do. I don't know why. It's just a thing. So yes, it is still a kid's show, guys. Don't worry. They're not just gearing it towards you older people who hate Star Wars and want you to hate it more.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Old people like me. I'm honestly, I'm really excited for this. I think each teaser has given me something new to cheer for as these have come out. And I do kind of feel like I am getting more and more used to the animation style.
Yes.
It's more reminiscent of, I think we've said Paper Man and Feast at some point, but I think especially if you look a lot of like the Netflix exclusive anime, this very much looks like that. So.
It does. We recently watched some of, I think, Dragon Prince?
Yeah, Dragon Prince.
Because Josh Kane recommended it to us and I think they recently just did a show on it. So go check that out if you've watched
Animation
the series
Station.
On Animation Station. But yeah, so we got to watch probably the first like 6 episodes or so of that. And it was interesting. The animation style is a little bit tough, but once you actually just get into what's going on in the story, you kind of forget about it a little bit.
Yeah, because it's the way it's animated, it feels like it's missing frames. Like people have kind of jerky motions,
yes,
which is not like they're jerks, but like it's very like disjointed motion.
Yeah. I don't know. We're not animators, so we don't understand it from an artist's point of view.
Right.
But you guys would know the terms and you guys get what we're saying. And for some people, they really appreciate all these Netflix animated series. So if that's more along your lines, then this is right there with all those. So if you enjoy all those shows that Netflix are putting out in the animated
genre, this is right up your alley.
This is for you. But yeah, I'm pumped. We got to see Leia. We got to see a gold trooper. We got to see
Phasma.
Phasma's back. Poe's back, and it's the actual, their voices, Gwendolyn Christie and Oscar Isaacs are going to voice their characters, so that's exciting. The person who voices Leia, I forget her name, but she sounds pretty spot on from the line or two that she gives in the trailer. Let's hope it sounds great throughout the show, or if she even is throughout the show, I don't know. But I'm just excited that we're getting Leia, so I'm on board.
Me here.
Two?
No, me here, too.
I did not hear you say me here. I was like, me?
Me here. Me. Me here in the room.
Thank you, Liam, for telling me you're still present.
Liam, say many words big time this time.
All right, so let's talk about Jon Favreau's live action series, which we didn't know much about, but apparently they've already have a set because people have found, they got to go to the set. I don't know these people personally. I just know I found them online and they were lucky enough to go on set and, or near, I think they were on the set. I don't know if they were like from like a
bird's eye,
a freaking garage across the street, like peeping in like the drones were. Who knows? Anyway, but they released on Making Star Wars, I'm assuming is their, yep, makingstarwars.net. You can go check out these pictures. They just have a bunch of set footage. And honestly, to me, it looks like Tatooine, but it could be something completely new because when you really look at the details, so many people are like, but that's not like Tatooine and that's not like Tatooine. I am not that fan. I'm a, is there dirt? Does that look like Tatooine? Yep, it does. Kind of the same with Jakku and all the other planets that look like Tatooine.
Right, they're all sand planets.
Yes.
But the what I thought was kind of interesting is it's a lot of like unfinished sets, so it doesn't really give us that look where it's like, oh, well, this is definitively one particular area. And I've heard rumors before that we're going to be dealing with Mandalores.
Yeah, well, that's, I think even Jon Favreau has mentioned that they're gonna have Mandalorians.
See, that's the thing. I couldn't find anything that was like him specifically saying it, but like people close to it have said it was either gonna have Mandalorians or they were gonna be on Mandalore.
I don't know. I just know it was a couple months back that they did mention. They even have pictures of Jon Favreau on set himself, so it is going along. The only thing with that is we don't have anything about casting. Who the heck is in this show? Nobody knows, but apparently they are setting it all up as if it should be done anytime within the next couple weeks, I imagine, or something about casting.
I would imagine. I mean, for they've already got sets, they have to have people. I mean, if anything, they're going through like the final like sit downs, the final interviews, if you will. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping, honestly, that they go with mostly unknowns for this. So we get, or just people that haven't done a whole lot of stuff. So there isn't like baggage that comes with them. So we can really get a feel for them as this character, as opposed to trying to see them in a different light as when they come in from something else. Like, I feel to some degree that's what Oscar Isaacs brought to the table, right? Where like we weren't super familiar with a lot of what he had done or Daisy Ridley. So it was nice to have these guys pull in. I mean, John Boyega to some degree as well. I mean, we had seen him in Attack the Block, but I want that. That's what I want. Like, yeah, maybe they've done a couple things here or there, but mostly I want it to be this will be their defining role.
I like that. I'm okay with that. And the only thing we really know from this is that it will be 2 to 3 years, I guess, what, after Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Right. So that's really all we can go off of as right now, because I think that's the only thing that Favreau actually said.
Yeah.
Other than that, we will hopefully find out in the next couple weeks.
I'm looking forward to it. So we'll see what happens. So the last bit of Star Wars news that we had is that Vader Immortal. So this is going to be ILM X Labs' latest addition to their virtual reality, the Oculus Rift game set. So this is what, a $400 unit?
Yep.
And the one that we had had before,
cheap, guys.
Right? The one they'd done before was like a Jedi trainer.
Yeah, I want to say it was following like Force Awakens, right? Or it was around the same time as Force Awakens just a few years ago. And it looked amazing. We didn't get to play it personally. We don't just have a couple $100 to blow like that on a game.
Nope.
If you do, you're very lucky and you've got to tell us what you think of it. But even from then, the people who have worked on that one to this one say that it is a huge difference from that one, that they've worked out kinks, they've changed things up a bit, that this will be even more virtual. I don't even know how you can get more virtual, but it is. And just the fact that with this one, you get to wield an actual lightsaber. I thought that's what the Jedi one was.
Right.
But they're talking about like this one, you can move 360. So I don't know if you could do that before. You guys, if you have played it, you'll have to let us know if that makes sense. But from all of the interviews I have read about this, is that you can wield a lightsaber 360. So I'm like, the fact that they keep mentioning that, it must have been a thing that you couldn't do in the original one.
Well, because like the Secrets of the Empire was the one that they had put together for the Void.
Well, they did that for the Void. Yes, they also worked on that, which is still going on now until November 12th, until it changes over to Wreck-It Ralph. But the other one is different for the original one they did for your home, your in-home, whatever.
Right. And I don't remember what it was called either.
I don't either. Jedi something. Oh, gosh, I don't even know. Anyway, they've worked on that. They've come so far. They're now talking about how with Vader, it's just...
Oh, it was Trials on Tatooine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I knew it was Trials something. I thought it was just Jedi Trials.
And we got
Trials.
To wield a lightsaber and deflect Stormtrooper blast. So they did get to do that. And then Secrets of the Empire was a collaboration with the Void. And now this one will be Vader Immortal, which will be episode one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm guessing that obviously they're going to continue on. So each episode will be a continuation
series.
Of,
yep. Yeah. They're calling this a Vader series. So it will all be very much Vader is right there in front of you, talking to you. That's got to feel epic. I wish we could afford the $400 price tag on this thing, but honestly, it'll probably be a long time before we can get something like this. Maybe a few years down the road when it drops down to like under $200 or something.
See, you know what's crazy about this too is that it's written and executive produced by David S. Goyer. So he had written The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So it's like kind of crazy that like the names that they have attached to this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But with this one, you were actually going to be sent to the Darth Vader's castle on Mustafar, obviously, that we got to see in Rogue One. And then, obviously, you'll see him wielding a lightsaber. So the trailer for it is short, but it's very cool. It gives you kind of a good look at what to expect. And I'll be honest, I mean, there's going to come a point in time where I'm going to be like, look, we gotta spend the money. This stuff is just too cool to not.
We wanted the last one. No. We weren't able to get it. This one sounds, I don't know, even better because, come on now, Vader talking to you is kind of like a pee your pants kind of moment. So
right.
It might just have to be a thing that we get. But, yeah, I don't know, $400. Pretty penny if you're going to get it. Let us know if you do end up getting it when it does come out. I don't know if there's an actual date set for it. I know it's sometime next year, but not quite sure the actual date given. So look for that. Come into a home near you in 2019.
Nice. I look forward to it. So that was all that we had for the news. So let's take a quick break and then we'll pop back in with some shout outs.
So we spend a lot of time talking about Marvel on the show for good reason. They're always ahead of the curve when it comes to bringing top level entertainment to their fans through their comics, TV shows, movies, and now podcasts.
Marvel has teamed up with Stitcher to bring you the first fully scripted 10-episode series, Wolverine: The Long Night. Following a string of mysterious deaths in Burns, Alaska, Special Agents Sally Pierce and Tad Marshall, voiced by Celia Keenan-Bolger and Ado Essendo, arrive to investigate. They soon find there's more than meets the eye when all signs point to one man, Logan, voiced by Richard Armitage from The Hobbit series. This is your first chance to not only enjoy this premium Marvel content, but you can also support our show by going to stitcher.com/premium and using the promo code CloudCity to get your first month free. If you fall in love with their new show, as well as the other exclusive content available on Stitcher Premium, then it's only like $5 a month. But we'll still hook you up with that first month for free, even if you decide to cancel after that.
So you're getting a free month's access to the first Marvel podcast, plus you get to help out our show. Cut the check!
Cut the check! Cut the check! Cut the check!
So please do us a huge favor and head over to stitcher.com/premium and start your free trial today using the promo code CloudCity. That's all one word. Again, that's stitcher.com/premium and use the promo code CloudCity.
Fine. I'll do it myself.
It is time for some shout-outs.
Shout-outs!
I hope you guys can hear Remy in the background saying that we're not ready for shout-outs.
Yeah, apparently.
No shout-outs! No shout-outs! Anyway, so let's talk about our last episode post, and let's see. No, Jedi Rabbi's had to say, we talked about Howard the Duck on the last episode, and if it will come back. And he had to say, I feel like the biggest force trying to bring back Howard the Duck was James Gunn. I wonder if they'll use him, if it would be maybe his doorway back into the good graces of Disney. If it's far enough down the line, it's a definite possibility, as I think Disney is just waiting for some time to pass before they let him back into the fold. So...
Yeah, I mean, I can kind of see that. I feel like he would be probably my go-to director for that. I mean, and I feel bad because it always seems like Taika Waititi's the other one that you're like, or Taika. But I kind of feel like with something like Howard the Duck, maybe I want somebody new to take a crack at that. I feel like there's a lot of really good directors out there, and especially if you can find some that have operated in the indie film world so they can... They know how to stretch a budget, right? So you're not, especially with something like Howard the Duck, that's probably not going to be like a blockbuster, Infinity War billion-dollar movie. But I could probably be like an Ant-Man, like a $600 million. Like, why not?
$500,000 jump change.
Chumpy change. but you know what I mean. Like, there are certain characters that, in the right hands with the right script with the right actors, like they can make tons of movies or tons of money.
But I get what he's saying about the James Gunn, since he's the one who's putting him into Guardians. It makes sense that he is the one that wants him to return. So I don't know. I think Disney will eventually work with James Gunn one day again. Yeah. I just feel like that's going to happen, but I think it'll be further down the road, a long time down the road, when there's not so much bad taste in anybody's mouth.
People have
long
memories these days. So.
No, they do. And nothing goes away because the internet. It's always there. And then to move on, we also talked about, I guess we talked about Elena of Avalor. Oh, we were talking about the princesses in Wreck-It Ralph. So then that led on to me saying how I want a Mexican princess or another Latin princess in the films. And he went on, because we had mentioned that Elena of Avalor is supposed to be the Spanish princess. And he had a long little description of why Elena of Avalor is not Spanish. So if you guys want to go read that, go to the comment. I won't read the whole thing. But basically, we came to the conclusion is that there needs to be more. There just obviously needs to be more Latin princesses. And we want a Latin princess from all of the Latin countries. Thank you very much. No, I just thought it was funny that he was like, Avalor is fake. It's a fictional place. So we need more representation, not a fake representation.
Right.
Get it?
Yeah. No.
He just had a better way of explaining it.
Right. But but I think like even the fake made up island or land of Avalor, to me, it always felt like it was more of like a Spanish place than as opposed to like... Mexican, but that may also just be my ignorance.
No, it was.
When it comes
they even mentioned it. I remember reading articles that they mentioned it was based off of Spanish, places.
So, gotcha.
Like places in Spain are actually from the art and whatnot in this show. So it makes sense that it was geared towards Spain, but it was supposed to be kind of just a combination of all Latin, all Hispanic cultures,
Which
and
isn't
where
really
it,
fair.
It's not fair, and it's not fair for all of the princesses. Which slowly we are getting princesses that kind of just are for a particular part of the world, and so let's slowly get more Latin princesses from different parts of the world.
Well, it's because it's hard, right? Because you figure you do Tiana, and you're like, oh, she's an African American princess, but it's like, but what about the actual African princesses?
Princess.
And then if it's from West Africa, that's very different than Northern Africa or Central or Southern. So
well,
I mean,
you have the future.
Yeah, of course. We have time. We haven't gotten there yet, but that doesn't mean we don't ever get there.
Yeah, I think we will. And I think eventually we'll get a Mexican princess on screen. Just saying.
Her name will be Brittany. People will be like, that's not a Mexican name. And Brittany will be like, it's my middle name, yo.
And then they'll be like, what's your first name? I'll be like, Jacqueline. And they'll be like, that's not Mexican either.
And you'll be like, I know, but it doesn't matter.
I don't care. Anyway, what's in a name? Let's talk about what you guys thought of the Dark Phoenix trailer. And let's see. KermitKid7 said the music in this trailer is epic.
And for those that didn't know, that song is The End by The Doors. And this is actually a cover of it. This is not actual.
No.
I forgot what it was. I was reading some review and they were like, when you hear Jim Morrison's voice. I was like, it's not Jim Morrison. That's definitely not Jim Morrison.
So
this is a cover of The End, which, I mean, obviously is fitting because this is the end of Fox being able to ruin Marvel movies.
You took it there.
Right. No, this is them kind of saying like this is the end of what potentially could be the end of these characters. I honestly we've seen the funeral scene, so somebody dies. Mystique. So it'll be really interesting to see where what character actually ends up biting the bullet on that one.
Cyclops.
Because we've already seen The Last Stand. So we'll see. We'll see kind of how it goes.
And then Disney Adventures went on to say, been waiting forever for a decent Phoenix movie, fingers excitedly crossed. So I like that. Positive looking towards this movie. I'm pumped for it. I know you're kind of pumped for it. So
are you like pumped as in like Reebok, like pumped up shoes? Are you like pumped as in like we're going to pump it up and we're going to bounce in the bounce houses?
Both of those are like really
so like, you put on your Reeboks and you have pumped them up.
Well, you can't do that because that's against the rules. You cannot use your Reeboks inside
the you got to wear your stinky socks.
Exactly. Anyway, yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Nice. I guess that was it for the shout-outs.
Shout-outs.
Nothing from Remy for that one. So I guess that's all that we've got for you guys for this episode. Yeah. We appreciate you guys tuning in. Looked like there was another little jump this past episode. So thanks for all the new people that are tuning in. Hopefully you guys stick around. Yeah, hopefully you enjoyed this episode.
We occasionally do giveaways and give awesome stuff.
Yes, and we do have a Disney trip planned. Yeah, right. We do need to do another one. We have a Disney trip planned for the end of this month, obviously, so we can go and see Nightmare Before Christmas live. So if you guys are going to that at the Hollywood Bowl, let us know. Maybe we'll see you there.
Do a meetup. We're doing the Saturday one, so
yes.
Let us know.
Yes. But we will be in the parks, I think, the Friday, right?
I think we'll be there possibly Thursday, but mostly Friday sometime Saturday.
Perfect. So we'll be out and about. So definitely, if you're in the area, hit us up and let us know. We'll try to do a meetup. But otherwise, ooh, very cool. Remy's building with Legos. Very awesome. but yeah, I guess that's all for this one. So where can they find you on the interwebs?
Find me at Citizen of Disney.
Perfect. You can find me at Liam Bright.
You can find the show at Hilt Radio.
On Twitter and Instagram. And you can email us.
And our email, hiltradio@gmail.com. You can check out the website. There's not much going on there, but one day I will write something on it.
She'll get her mommy blog posts in there
because we know you're dying for those posts.
Who isn't? I know I am. But thanks, we appreciate it again, and we will catch you on the next episode of Hilt Radio. But as always, until then, try to make the world a better place.
Need even more Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars in your life? Be sure to visit our website at HiltRadio.com for more magic like our blogs, videos, merch, and access to our archive of episodes. That's HYLTRadio.com. See you real soon.